Well, did you get saved? If not, why not? What are you waiting on? Another sermon? Take care you don't wait too long. I'm going to read a verse you needn't turn to it. This is the exhortation of the Lord, because there are some people who will not be saved. They will just wait too long. And because this is such a serious and a solemn business, that the decision that you are making now in this meeting may stand for all eternity, God would say to you, as he did to a people long ago, hear ye and give ear, and be not proud. For the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he caused darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while you look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death, and make it gross darkness. But if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, says Jeremiah the prophet, and mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears. Did you ever ask yourself the question, what you're doing on the face of the earth? Why you were ever born into the human race and not created a cow or a dog or an angel? Did it ever cross your mind to ask yourself the question why you were brought onto the page of history in this century and not in the 10th century or the 15th century or in the days of the Lord Jesus or in the Old Testament days? Do you think that there's just some great bundle of happenstance that pours out human beings onto the face of the earth without reason and without cause? There's a verse in the Bible that tells me why you were born and tells me why you are here tonight and the reason for your existence. We have heard already tonight the reason for your existence is not to make money. It is not to become the recipient of great qualifications, whatever those may be. In Isaiah 43:7, the Lord says, every man have I created for my glory. I have formed him. I have made him. Do you know that you were formed, you were made, you were put together, blended with so much of this personality trait, and so much of this characteristic, and so much of this talent, and so much of this attribute, and your being was just blended together, and you were brought onto the scene of history for one great purpose, and that is that your existence will be for the glory of God in this life and for all eternity. Now, if you miss that, if you miss God's purpose for your existence, then you will have missed the reason for your existence. And better, and I say this solemnly, better you had never been born than to live and to miss the reason for your existence. God gives a word of command here, and he says, hear. In other words, he wants you to listen carefully. What are you to listen to? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's what he wants you to listen to. Not the voice of Satan, not the platitudes of the philosophers, not the persuasions of friends, but the word of God. That's what he wants you to listen to. And you've heard an invitation tonight to seek the Lord while he may be found. And God says, hear it, listen to it with both ears. And then he adds another word, give ear. That literally means pay attention. There are people who hear the words, but never pay attention. He wants you to pay attention for yourself. Hear, he says, and give ear or pay attention and be not proud. Oh, I tell you, there are more souls slipping on their slithery way down to a lost eternity because they will not bend their proud will. Hear the word of God. Pay attention as though you were listening for eternity, and you may be. Be not proud. You must be prepared to bow that will and to yield to the claims of the gospel. And he says, give glory unto the Lord. Now, how do you give glory unto the Lord? Well, we give glory to the Lord when we confess our guilt as sinners. There was a man called Achan who committed a sin, and Moses said to him, Joshua said to him, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession, and tell what thou hast done, and hide not. You know, there's one thing when we're dealing with God, we must be absolutely honest. And he wants you just to be frank and honest with our holy God. I had the privilege of bowing my knees beside a man who is reputed to be a millionaire. He had been prayed for by a Christian wife for 25 years. His family had grown up and they had become saved except one son. And they all prayed for him. He had lovely daughters and an unsaved son and sons-in-law all praying for him. I went to visit him one night. He was one of those very sensitive men, a very tender heart. But he was one of those men you couldn't shove around, if you know what I mean. He didn't like to be spoken to about the gospel. Anyway, we had something in common in that we had both been in the service, in the Air Force, doing a very similar job, and so that gave us a little point of contact. Went to visit him for supper by his invitation one night, and after the meal, we went down into the living room, and he sat back in his reclining chair, and we talked a little about the things of the Lord. And I turned to him as I looked at him. He has everything materially that a man could ever want. And when I saw him sitting there, my heart just absolutely ached for that man. He had everything except the only thing that really mattered, eternal life. And calling him by name, I said, man, I love you for the Lord's sake, and I wish you were saved. And he looked at me, and he put his head to the side, and he broke down in tears. And for a whole minute I sat, I didn't quite know what to say, and he sobbed. And I said, why don't we get down and pray? He got down on his knees over this beautiful pink velvet sofa. And the tears soaked the cushion. And I prayed for him, and then I waited for him to pray. And I waited, and I was afraid he was going to draw back. And then suddenly he burst out, and he said, oh God, I have been such a sinner. That was good. He was getting to the place where he was honest with God. And he asked the Lord to save him from his sins and come into his heart. And God saved him that night. His wife was praying up in the kitchen. He had two daughters praying in the basement. And when he got up off his knees, he called his wife. I tell you, I just had to leave the room. Talk about holy water. The tears were flowing. The daughters, two daughters and the wife, had their arms around him, and they were sobbing for very joy. Oh, what a wonderful thing. But he had to be honest with God. And that's why some of you are not saved. You've never been honest with God and admitted that you have sinned. This is how you give glory to God. The confession of your guilt the guilt of your sin. You give glory to God by confessing him. We read in Isaiah 42 and 12, let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise. That is, we are to acknowledge that God is right. The New Testament puts it this way. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And we give glory to God when we believe God. We read of Abraham in Romans 4 verse 20 that Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now you've heard tonight that God loves you. Believe it. Don't try to feel it, just believe it. You've heard tonight that the Lord Jesus is seeking you. Then believe it. You have heard tonight that if you will seek him, you will meet. Then believe it and take him at his word. That's the thing. We must believe God and claim the promises of God. I was preaching in a city far from here. And after the meeting one night, a fine-looking, business-looking kind of a gentleman stayed behind. Nice gray suit, closely cropped gray hair, gray mustache, intense, intelligent face. And he was waiting behind, and when everyone had left, he stepped up to me and he said, I would like to have a private conversation with you. We went into the back room, and to open the conversation, I put out my hand and said, my name is Boyd Nicholson. He put out his hand and he said, my name is, and he gave me the name of Canada's most wanted criminal. The number one man on the Royal Canadian Mounted Police list of a few years ago. A name I would never forget. And immediately said that, I recognized his face, though older, I had seen his picture many a time in our newspapers. He was the leader of a gang of bank robbers, guilty of blood. And I said to him, you're not fooling me, are you? He says, I certainly am not. I spent 15 years in Kingston Penitentiary, working out three life sentences, and I'm on a lifetime parole. Now, he says, that you know who I am. Is there any hope for a man like me? I had preached that night from Luke 15, this man receiveth sinners. I reminded him of the text, of the message, this man receiveth sinners. I said to him, tell me, are you a sinner? He dropped his head and he said, I surely am. Well, I said, God says the Lord Jesus is ready to receive you. We sat down and we read the verses of Scripture, and intently he examined every text. He wouldn't go on to the next verse till he felt he had grasped the import of each text. Intense, intelligent man. Finally, he said to me quite abruptly, there is something then that I must do. He got up from his chair, got down on his two knees, and I got down beside him, and he began to pray, and I shall never forget his prayer. He said, O God, we have read in thy word that if I will believe the gospel and receive thy Son to be my Savior, thou wilt give to me eternal life. O God, I now hold thee to thy promise. Amen. And he stood up on his feet, and a smile played across his lips, and he said, now the record is clean. You're not Canada's number one criminal, but God was seeking that man, and he's seeking you tonight. But if you die without Christ, he'll go to heaven and you will go to hell. There is an impending danger that you must face. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. That's the time limit, isn't it? What is the danger? The danger is before he cause darkness and your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. Here is a picture. Not now of the lost sheep being sought by the shepherd, But the lost sheep seeking light on the dark mountains. What a picture. The sun is setting quickly, and the darkness has filled the valley, and a few final rays are just glinting on the top of the mountains, and the little lost sheep is scrambling up the mountains if only it can reach that moment of light, and then the darkness comes and the lost sheep is left to the crevices and the gorges and the clifts of the mountains there at last to be left to perish. Oh, what a picture, what a vivid picture of a lost soul who leaves it too late. I want you to think of these words. Before he caused darkness. Do you know that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes for the church, God himself will cause a darkness to fall upon the minds of all who have heard the gospel and refused it. And you will not be able to find him then. Darkness, and says the Lord, cause your before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while you look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. My, just think of this. Is it possible there's a boy or girl in the meeting tonight, mom and dad are saved, a teenager, a prodigal son, a daughter, or a father for whom children have prayed for? Is it possible that you're sitting in the meeting tonight under the light of the gospel, and the Lord Jesus is seeking you, and you could be found, and you are proud, you will not bow, and the Lord was to come, you'd be left behind, and there'll be no light? In the Bible, Christ is pictured as a sun shining. But the Lord Jesus Christ will have gone, and there will be no light of Christ. Never again will he appeal to you to come to him. The Holy Spirit is pictured as a lamp. But when the church is taken away, the Spirit no longer will be resident on earth. And never again will he convict you of your sins or your need of Christ. No light of the Holy Spirit. The Christians are pictured in the Bible as stars. My friend, when the Christians have all gone, there'll be no light of the Christians. You'll never need to worry about a Christian giving you an invitation to a gospel meeting. You'll never need to worry about a Christian giving you a gospel tract. They'll all be gone. My friend, think of this. There won't be a praying mother left to pray for the wandering boy. Think of that. They'll never trouble you again. You'll look for light, but there'll be no light of Christ. No light of the Christians. No light of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps you'll go to some godless, Christ-rejecting, modernistic preacher. They'll still be around. But the Bible says of these that the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark on them. Maybe you think Gene Dixon will help you out, and all the other diviners or astrologers. Maybe you'll try to find some light that way. But there'll be no light of the diviners and the soothsayers on that day. For the Bible says, then shall the seers be ashamed and the diviners be confounded. And there will be no answer of God. I want to tell you, there won't be one single shaft of light when Christ takes the church. You'll be left to an impenetrable darkness. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, for there will be coming a time when he will not be found. Impenetrable darkness. I remember one night during the war, flying over the sea. It was total blackness above us. It was total blackness beneath us, and all around it seemed as though we were encased in black velvet. I don't think I ever saw such a black night in all my life. And the only illumination to alleviate the impenetrable darkness was the slight glow of the instrument panel. I reached out my hand, and with a flick of the switch, I switched off the lights of the instrument panel just to see what total darkness looked like. I tell you, it was really frightening. There was neither up nor down nor any direction. Absolutely nothing could be seen. And in a moment, I had to switch on those dim lights again. Think of this. The Bible pictures those who are lost as wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Oh, my friend, if you're not saved tonight, what's the matter with you? The Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, is seeking you with love and compassion. The Good Shepherd longs to embrace you to himself and take you to the realms of light, never to know the darkness of a lost eternity. Seek him while he may be found, or it will be impenetrable darkness. But there was an impenitent decision here. But if you will not hear it, you will not hear it. Brother Neil and I had a most shattering experience not long ago in Grand Rapids, Michigan. A dear young Christian woman had an unsaved husband who was dying of cancer in the hospital. She pled with us to visit him, and we went up to the hospital. He was a Christ rejecter. As I went in, we spoke to him, and he gave us no encouragement to talk. And so we thought to read the scriptures with him. And he says, "I won't listen to you," he says. "I won't listen to you." Well, anyway, we said we'll read the scriptures to you. And we read the scriptures, hoping that something would get through. He turned his head away. I said, "We're going to pray." He says, "I won't be listening to you." Anyway, we prayed for his soul and left. The next day we returned, and he was very sick. The smell of death was upon him. I said, "How are you today, Larry?" He says, "I think I'll go home next week." And I looked at him. I knew the man was dying. "What do you say? Do you continue with the deception?" I said to him, "Larry, I'm a servant of the Lord, and I must be faithful to you and faithful to my God. You are not going home, Larry. You're going to die." For a moment, he looked shocked, and I said to him, "Are you ready to meet God?" He says, "No, I'm not." Well, I said, "I'm going to read the scriptures." He says, "I don't want to listen." Well, I said, "I'll read it to you anyway." And I read him the record of the final judgment, the great white throne, and then I read him the beautiful gospel of John 5:24. He says, "I'm not listening." And then he turned with hatred and he said, "Get out of here." I said, "Before we go, Larry, I'm going to pray." And I bowed my head and prayed, but I kept my eyes open. And I don't know when I ever saw a face so contorted with hatred as I saw the face of that dear man. And I finished my prayer. He said, "Get out of here." And he turned his head away. And sadly, we left the room. The next morning, we had a call from his wife. 7:00, Larry died. Will you take his funeral? What would you say at a funeral like that? I tell you, Brother Neil and I, we trembled as we sat there. There was the casket lying open for the body of that man. And as we looked at that man now gone into eternity, we just thought, if only he had sought the Lord while there was time, he'd be in heaven. And now, as far as we know, died a Christ rejecter. We did our best to give a little word at the funeral, and at last the crowd all left, and we walked to the back. And his wife, who was sitting at the front, rose from her seat. She went over and threw herself across the casket. "Oh, Larry, Larry, you're gone. My friend, it happens to somebody every day. They will not come. My friend, I appeal to you, seek the Lord while he may be found, and tonight you know he can be found. Why don't you just come to him? Throw your arguments aside. God is weary of your arguments. He knows them all. He's been listening to them for thousands of years. Throw them aside. Repent of your sin. Get down humbly before him and confess you're the sinner for whom Christ died, and receive him as your personal Savior. And God will save you in a moment of time. But Jeremiah finishes and he says, if you will not hear, I will weep for you. But if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ and the church is taken home to heaven, I want to tell you this, kindly and tenderly, no Christian will ever weep for you again. For God will have wiped their tears away, and the only tears that you will know will be your own weeping for a long lost eternity. It's a solemn business, preaching the gospel. For it's eternity that's in view. We're not selling anything. We're simply presenting to you the alternatives. We cannot put Christ into your heart. We cannot open your heart to Christ. We simply give you the message. Now, it is your decision. And I appeal to you in the words of my brother's text, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. May it be so for his name's sake. Let us pray.